Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition show. It's a show that allows you to connect with your intuition. Well, that helps you anyway. I'm Susan Jane and I'm your host for the show. Now, today we have Michael on. Now, this is take two for Michael. He hasn't been on the show before, but we attempted to do all this last week. And we had a few technical issues. So I have a really good understanding of what's going to be happening today. And I'm really excited about it. Now, Michael does astrology, but it's not your regular astrology. It is vibrational astrology. And there's a bit of a difference to it, which you're going to find out all about. But share, subscribe, like the podcast, and we will move right on to bring Michael into the show. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Susan. Good to see you again.
Oh, it was quite funny last week, but we'll tell you about that another time.
It's all good. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, that's my pleasure again. And look, we're going to do something a little bit different. What we discussed last week was that we're going to look at a little bit of my chart so we can ground and get the understanding and ground that understanding for the listeners. Sure. So I don't want to go right through all of my stuff, but it's more about bringing a few things forward so people get a good understanding of it. But first things first, who is Michael? What is it all about? I want to get a little bit more information about you.
Absolutely. So I am I'm a personality profiler turned astrologer. Now that may sound like a real odd combination of skills, but I'll give you a little background. My journey into astrology began many years ago, back in the early 90s, when someone gifted me a reading with a professional astrologer. And I had never had one. I didn't know anything about astrology. In fact, I was raised in a faith-based system where astrology was a big no-no. So I had to think about whether or not I really wanted to do this reading or not. And as you probably already surmised, I opted to have the reading. And I was absolutely amazed. Within a one-hour time frame, this woman who knew nothing about me was able to tell me everything that had happened to my life as far as major themes up till that point. She summarized what I was going through at the very moment that I went to see her, which was a time of somewhat of confusion because I was trying to figure out what my next steps were going to be. And then she proceeded to tell me some forecasting information about what would potentially happen in the future, which of course I tracked very compulsively, and that worked out. So that ended up sparking my interest. But what was interesting to me is this was between my undergraduate and graduate year of university. So once I got to university to pursue my master's in clinical psychology, astrology is a four-letter word, even though it isn't. It's often considered that way amongst academicians. So I kind of kept my interest to myself and started buying some books and reading and studying. And the whole time I'm working on my degree and doing all that, but I'm also learning about astrology. Fast forward a little bit to the early 2000s, I really became enamored with astrology because it was just fascinating stuff. So I ended up procuring some professional astrology software, and I started doing consultations for people who I knew, friends, family, anyone who was interested in giving me their birth data. I would run their chart and started teaching myself and getting feedback from them. You know, does this make sense? Here's what it says in the literature. Does this happen? The whole nine yards. It turns out I was onto something because I ended up having people start to become somewhat of regular clients every 6 months or a year or so. They'd say, hey, can we do that thing again? Will you tell me what's coming down the road? And I ended up having a side hustle without even knowing what the term was. So that's all well and good, but there was something that always just never quite sat right for me about traditional astrology. And there's many different forms of it. And I'm not here to say one form is better than another. There's, of course, the Western astrology, there's medieval, Hellenistic, there's Vedic in India, which is very popular, a bunch of different systems. Well, about 10 years ago, I discovered this gentleman in Gainesville, Florida, by the name of David Cochran. And he was researching a type of astrology, and he started doing this research in the 70s, the early 1970s, collecting data on tens of thousands of people whose charts he ran and did deep, intense interviews. And he put together this model and theory of what is known today as vibrational astrology. And the reason that this form of astrology really connected with me is because in vibrational astrology, or VA for short, it actually welcomes and incorporates science into the mix. And me being a data person coming out of the world of personality assessment, that really resonated with me. So I went further down the rabbit hole, so much so that at this stage of the game right now, I'm actually in an extensive 2-year mentorship program studying with him directly. And the reason that this form of astrology, vibrational astrology, really connected with me is because, unlike a lot of other types where it's like, well, you just have to take this information because it's been handed down from generation to generation. Again, that didn't sit with me. VA is all about the science. What's going on there? What works? What doesn't work? And that enabled me to really dive in feet first, because I have always had a foot in two worlds. I certainly like science and data and psychology and personality assessment, which is all heavily science and data based. But I also like the metaphysical world. I've always been interested in things like astrology and hypnosis and metaphysics. And vibrational astrology is that camp that enables you to bring everything together, saying, yeah, we welcome science. We welcome skeptics. We welcome people who study physics. And it really was a dynamic shift in how I viewed the world, and especially how I viewed the world in astrology. So that's my semi-life story in under a couple of minutes.
That was great. And the part I like too, so you, when you're doing your studies, you actually studied psychology, didn't you? So you've
yeah.
got that,
oh yeah. Yeah, yep, that's correct.
You've got that psychological background as well, with all the data and psychology, although people think it's all about the feelings and, you know, emotions and everything else, there's a lot of data involved in psychology. And
my advice to anyone who's considering getting into psychology, and I know that's not what we're really talking about here today, is you better like data first. If you say, oh, I'm going into psychology because I want to help people, well, your tune will change when you get hit with your first statistics course. So you better like some data as well. But I digress.
No, I know exactly what you mean. And look, the reason why I'm bringing that up is because I'm like that. I'm a little bit of a nerd. I like the data as well. And I feel like I often sit in between that vortex between data mm-hmm. and science and having it needs to make sense. And then that's the spirituality side of it, where it's sort of a little bit, you have to be open-minded. And a lot of scientists are open-minded. They are open-minded because that's how they grow and develop. But then there's a lot that are just very, very stagnant in their ways, and they won't look at anything else unless it can be proven. But again, we digress. But that's what I really liked last week when we did talk about it, is that we do have this happy medium between the two. Those two elements. And that's what I liked about the VA, the vibrational astrology, how it brings it all together. Now, the reason why I'm talking about your background and the psychology was also because of the way you present the information. Now, when I've gone to other astrologers, they do tend to talk about the moon coming into this trine and that house and this over here. And honestly, you know, like I had one lady said to me, oh, well, that's pretty natural because Saturn is doing this. And I'm thinking, well,
what does that mean?
What does that mean to me?
Yeah.
So they went off in their own gobbledygook when you, and that's a scientific word for it.
Absolutely.
when you were talking about it, you grounded it. You brought it back to my reality. And that's the part I wanted to, you know, really let people be aware of. And that was one of the biggest things. And I don't know whether that's just vibrational astrology or whether that's you, Michael, because of the way you are. But that's how you brought it forward. It was very grounding.
Well, thank you for that. I think it's a combination of both. I'll take partial credit, but here's one of the main ways. VA is different than a lot of other forms of astrology, as I mentioned, but here's one of the main things. Most astrology systems, and before other astrologers come after me, hey, you do you. Everyone, that's the beauty of this. Everyone can find their own way and their own path. But most other forms of astrology work from an archetypal model, meaning the moon theoretically represents our mother in the chart. Saturn may represent our father. Mars is the warrior. Okay, maybe, but when we look at archetypes, you got to take a step back and say, well, these archetypes are born out of something, because archetypes just don't show up out of thin air. Where did that come from? And here's where VA really nails this point. In vibrational astrology, we're not looking at archetypes. We're looking at energy flow. Because if I had to summarize vibrational astrology in one sentence, it's this. Vibrational astrology simply shows you the optimal way energy is designed to flow for you. And the reason that that is possible in VA is because what the research has determined up to this point, and I say up to this point because it always changes. It's an evidence-based practice. That's the model that we use. As the evidence gets better, we change the theory and fine-tune it. But based on the research that's been done thus far, in VA, every planet is responsible for regulating one process. That's it. So it's not like, well, the moon can be this and that and that. The moon regulates emotions and feelings and memories from our past, things at a core level. That's it. It's not stretched into other areas that it really doesn't fit. And we're not crowbarring something, a meaning or an interpretation, to make it fit where it doesn't belong. So what we do as vibrational astrologers is we look at the planets or aspects, and that's simply where planets form a specific angular distance in the sky, and in your birth chart, of course. And we look at what planets are at play, what's the energy process when we combine all of those planets together, and that tells us about the energy that is at hand. Now, from that, you can then begin, if you want to go down the archetype path, you can, but here's how I like to explain VA from an operational standpoint. The planets are where the magic truly happens. And one of the things that people are surprised to find out, especially if they have a consult with me, is that I make very little reference to signs and houses. Now, half the astrologers listening probably just drove into a ditch and said, what do you mean no signs, no houses? I'm not saying we don't use them, but signs and houses, again, according to the data, this is not me speaking, they give a flavor or a coloring to how we do something, but it's not the what. The what comes from the planets, because that's where the energy is. So, you know, when I hear a lot of astrologers online saying, well, here are the three sun signs that will get along best with one another. Maybe, maybe not. According to the data, not so much. But when we're looking at planets and seeing what energy they're bringing to the party, I like to think of them as ingredients in a recipe. You can think savory if you'd like, or you can think like me, who likes sweets, things like donuts and cake and all that good stuff. When you have a recipe, you have a certain amount of ingredients, different ingredients in certain proportions in that recipe. And if you vary that recipe, it varies the outcome. If you add more sugar, the final product is going to taste differently. If you add more salt or take away salt, it's going to taste differently. Well, transfer that into VA. It's about what planets are involved, how strongly they're connected, and that changes the ultimate energy flow. So it certainly builds on astrological theory that's been around for over 2,000 years, but it takes a step to refine it and get so much more exact, so much more quickly, that it tends to be really, really helpful for folks because people can make sense of what's going on.
Whoa, I love that. I was going to ask you to repeat that first line again, but like that, I don't need to. That was really cool. So let me get it this way. We're not looking at the star signs and different areas like that. Certainly not looking at the archetypes. And I understand that because when you get stuck in, say, the warrior, is that Mars? Mars the warrior? Yeah. And you get that and that's that fiery red planet and everything else. Mm-hmm. I get the feeling that, so the feeling of the warrior, I get the understanding of that. But when you take away that mindset or that vision and bring it back down to you and who you are, you stop focusing on that external and start looking at the internal.
You're right. And let's use Mars as a great example, because even if people know very little about astrology, oftentimes people are familiar with the moon, the sun, and Mars. And in traditional and many systems in astrology, they say Mars is the warrior. There's a lot of confrontation there. There's a lot of energy. And again, there can be. But in VA, Mars simply regulates a desire to do something. It's energy in its purest form. So we wake up in the morning and we say, all right, today I have to go clean the gutters, go to the grocery store, and then I have to come home and cook dinner. Mars is responsible for giving you the desire to get something done. Now, how that gets accomplished is all over the board. You can do that in a very methodical way. You could do it in a very haphazard way. You could do it in a way that might be very calculated. You could be very angry and aggressive. Now the signs theoretically can get involved, but at the end of the day, Mars gives us the energy to make something happen versus, let's say, Neptune, which is the planet that regulates what is magical to us as individuals. If we have Neptune in a chart without any Mars aspecting, well, that means we can dream all these wonderful things that we want to do, but may never get off our rear ends to take the action necessary to make it happen. So you're right. When we remove the archetypes, we're not getting caught up in this dramatic type of representation. And it makes things a lot clearer. Venus is another one. When you say Venus, it was, oh, love, romance. All right, yeah, that's certainly part of it. But in its purest sense, what Venus regulates is what we are attracted to as far as what we perceive as being beautiful. Now, that can be romantic partners, it could be our physical environments that we're in. It's whatever is beautiful, inherent, clear, present beauty. So it's a much more cleaner interpretation, I found, because obviously I know traditional astrology, but just from consulting with people over the years who were with me from the very beginning and they've seen things progress, almost all of them had said, the VA approach just makes it more accessible. And that's the name of the game. You know, my goal is not to make people dependent on me. I want people to understand this so that they can at least pull up their chart and take a look at what's going on transit-wise, et cetera, and see what's happening and have a solid basic understanding of what's going on there without all the astro babble.
Yeah, and I love that. So, oh gosh, all these things are going through my head. We are going to do a couple of examples about this. But sure. Again, what I wanted to really put forward is the fact that when they do start talking about the archetypes, as in Mars, the warrior and things like that, right. I know me personally, or even Venus, when you talked about Venus, straight away I see in my mind's eye Venus.
Of course. Yeah.
So I'm projecting my energy or my thoughts or my understanding externally to right. Venus or to Mars, to the warrior, instead of going, when you turn around and say it's about, creating action, that drive or what was the Mars, the drive?
Yeah, well, Mars gives us the desire to accomplish something, to get something done, whatever that something might be.
Yeah, and when you say it like that, then it comes back to me. And it's like, well, what is it I want to get done? Because Mars right. is going to help me do it. Instead of going, oh, Mars is a warrior and it's all about this and it's all about that. Again, projecting myself externally, Whereas saying what you said, straight away, I went to myself. I went internally, which is all about intuition. And you know, that's what I'm all about.
Exactly. Yeah.
I went internally and said, well, what is it that I want? Because Mars is in the right space for me to able to action it, or for me to be able to go ahead and do it.
There you go. That's it. So, I mean, just from this little bit that we're talking here, you're already starting to pick up the idea and the concepts and run with it versus the archetype of, you know, Pluto being the wrecking ball, as people say. Well, what does that mean? You know, because Pluto, when Pluto's involved with things, a lot of times old systems get demolished and what have you. But Pluto's energy is to bring stuff that's hidden out into the open, and it's a bit compulsive about how it does that, as opposed to just being this steamroller or wrecking ball archetype, where if we follow that thought pattern out, it might not be all that productive or yield that much information for us, but rather understanding that it brings intensity to the mix and it puts everything out in the open, everyone can wrap their head around that.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it's very grounding, very, very grounding. So I really like that. But let's bring, before we go any further, Michael, yeah. If you want to connect with Michael, it is blueridgeastrology.com. So I've got the little ticker tape going. And this is a little bit of a warning. We are going to show some images. So if you are listening on the podcast, maybe jump over to the YouTube channel, The Voice of Intuition, and have a look, because we're going to put some charts up very soon so we can get a bit more of an understanding of what it looks like and how Michael weaves his magic. So what's an example that we can go forward with now, Michael? So when you're talking about your birth chart, okay, let's go back here. Sorry, I'm just my head's
that's
going
all right.
When we talked last week, you want the birth date, the birthplace, and the time of birth. Now, my issue was I do not know my time of birth.
Correct.
That's how old I am. I don't think they recognized them in those olden days.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they did. Now, if you were telling me you were from the 1800s, first I'd be very impressed, and then I'd say, well, maybe, but, you know.
So what we've done is Michael has done a chart. Now, he spends an hour or so looking at these charts and getting some information before he brings it forward. So, you know, there's a lot of work involved in the back end of it. But he has had a look at mine, and we're going to bring a couple of things forward. I don't know what they are, so this could be embarrassing. But the reason why I wanted to bring them forward is so you have an understanding and an example about it, because we can talk all we like, but when we get some examples, it seems to concrete things a little bit more. It seems to ground them even more. So I'm going to leave it up to you, Michael. What are you going to do to me?
Well, I'm not going to do anything to you, but I'm going to work with you here. I'm going to go ahead and share my... Well, before I do that, let me just make a comment as to why the birth time is so important. Because in vibrational astrology, we don't just work from the natal chart. We work from these, what we refer to as vibrational or harmonic charts, for those who are astrologers out there, which are interpretations based off the natal chart. And the best way to describe them for our purposes here today is imagine that we're zooming in under high magnification to certain sections of a chart, of a birth chart, so that we can really see what's going on at higher vibrations. Just remember, everything is energy, and VA works from this energy concept. So we're looking at where these vibrations are most active. The reason we need a accurate birth time is when we get up to the really high vibrations, anything, let's say 16 or above, and we're not going to look at any of those today because we don't have an exact birth time for you, then the birth time is critical, because a difference of 2 minutes could shift everything around dramatically. We're approximating with you, and I put that out there just as a reference point, because we kind of narrowed it down to an hour, which is still pretty broad, but for our demonstrations here today, I think that'll get us in the ballpark. But the reason all that information, birth date, time, and location, are important is because when we're born, when we come into this consciousness, we have a very unique view of the sky from where we are on Earth at the time that we emerge from the womb. And in its simplest form, an astrology chart, all it is it's a map of the sky. That's it. It's a map of the sky at the time that you were born. So if you went back to that date and time and location where you were born and looked up at the sky, all of an astrology chart does is show where the planetary placements were at that point in time. And the theory is that the energetic patterns from the planets at that moment of your birth, they sort of get stamped into us almost like our cosmic DNA. And that is our personal game board that we have to operate from throughout our life in this existence. Now, the natal chart, the natal chart, that's sort of our home base. But what makes us different as individuals is A, our own unique chart, but then as the planets in the sky move through their orbits and they're always moving, they will aspect or create circuits with different planets in our natal chart or the vibrational charts. And that's where we get into forecasting, because we can see what energy is going to be flowing at what particular time, because as an astrologer, we're one of the few people who can honestly say we move back and forth in time at will, because we know where the planets are going to be. It's mathematically based. We can calculate that. So that's just a little background on why that birth data is so important and how that works. Let me go ahead. I'm going to pull up your chart now, if we will go ahead and make that happen.
Yeah. Oh, Michael, yeah. Can I ask you, I understand the birth chart, the natal chart. So obviously when you're born and it's a look of the sky, that was really clear and really easy to understand. The vibrational, the harmonic charts?
Correct. Yep.
How are they different? Like what are they?
What are they? Fair question.
Yeah, I've seen them, but I don't understand how they interact.
So that's a lengthy conversation, but I'll just give you again just some bare bone highlights. Okay. Yeah. When we're looking at vibrational charts, where it basically comes down to how we're dividing the astrological wheel. And in fact, let me do this. Let me go ahead. I am going to share my screen, and I'm just going to pull up transits just to kind of give you an idea. I think it'll be helpful to show this. So let me go over here, click some buttons, do this, and then do this. Okay, so let me go ahead. I'm going to just generate transits right now, and you should be able to see my screen, hopefully. Yep. Okay, so we are in right now. I just pulled up a transit chart, and I live in North Carolina here in the United States. This is what's going on right now overhead based on the planetary configurations. You've got Venus, you got Mars and Mercury sitting together, and you got Venus and the Sun that are pretty close, and you got some stuff going on down here. So this is technically a vibration of one. Now, well, what does that mean? It means that this is where everything starts. Now, when we talk about different vibrations, like the eighth vibration or the 16th vibration, whatever the number of the vibration is indicates how many times we're theoretically dividing the circle based on that vibration. So an eighth vibrational chart, and we're going to look at your eight vibe chart in a moment. You'll get an idea for that. What we're doing is imagine that we're taking a slice, a pizza pie, and we're cutting it into eight equal pieces, okay? Now, stay with me here, because here's where it gets a little abstract. But we're taking those eight pieces, and then we're stacking them on top of each other. But then we're stretching those eight pieces to then fill up a wheel. And it gives us the ability to zoom in to different sections of the chart. And that's where the term harmonic / vibrational charts come from, because we're looking at it through a different beat system. If you think in music, you know, you've got different timings. You've got 4/4 time, boom, 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 boom. Well, a vibrational chart would be more like up, 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 up. I know that sounds a little abstract, but it's an idea that once you start working with the charts, it makes sense. I will confess, it took me a while to wrap my head around the theory. But the good news is when I'm meeting with folks, you don't need to worry about those elements, because I explain what's going on in those charts. So here's the current transits. If I generated a harmonic chart and went up to a higher harmonic / vibration, I'm going to do that now. We're going to go to the eighth vibration. I'm going to show you a couple of different things here. So here we see this is the transits based on what's happening in the sky now in the basic vibration one. We have Mercury over here, sestra quadrat, fancy term, means 135 degrees to Pluto. Now, when we go up in a to higher vibrations, Mercury and Pluto is what we want to keep an eye on. Okay. So in the eighth vibration, look what happens. Here's Mercury and here's Pluto. They're now next to each other, or in astro speak, what we refer to as being conjunct. Well, all right, who cares? Here's why this is important. Because when we look at stuff in the eighth vibration, and the eighth vibration represents our core drivers and motivators, we're able to see, by getting rid of all the other clutter, I mean, there's still stuff here, but we're looking at the beginnings of that aspect pattern that started here with Mercury and Pluto. Think of it under, from the standpoint of putting it under high magnification. And when we do that and go to the eighth vibe, those planets are now conjunct, meaning they are working together in harmony. And it's a different interpretation because the eighth vibration is different than, let's say, the seventh or the 14th or the 17th, because the research has indicated that these vibrations tend to have an impact on certain parts of our life. And I think now's probably a good time to switch over to your chart, because you could either bear this out or say, no, that doesn't fit. And by the way, I'm not offended if something doesn't fit. I'm not going to try to crowbar it. All I'm doing is giving you the interpretation of the planets. So does that help at least give a little basic teaser of how the vibrational charts work?
Yes. Yeah, so they're working on different levels. So where we have the natal chart is the whole, like the sky, but then the vibrations are working on just on those different levels to get an understanding of how they're interacting and how we are going forward with it.
Think of it like frequencies. You know, we all say we got to raise your vibration. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, you want to raise your vibration through the roof. It's like you want to look at where you are, what vibration are you operating from. Higher vibrations tend to have more of a mental impact on us. Lower vibrations tend to show up more physically. Both are important, but the whole idea of energy and vibration all comes together under this umbrella of VA in real tangible terms.
The other thing is, Michael, before you start on this as well,
yeah,
is, okay, so we're looking at your natal chart, your birth chart is, you know, the sky as it is. How is that helping us if that's how it was all those years ago, and there was a lot of years ago,
right?
How is that helping us now? Is it because you change it around to see what they're doing in the now, or how does
that's part of it. I'm going to zip over to your natal chart. Okay, so this is your natal chart.
Yep.
This is a snapshot of the sky at the moment that you were born, based, you know, on that hour time frame. We kind of just, you know, approximated based on what you had shared with me. This is the foundation, or your toolbox, if you will, as far as what energy patterns are you going to have available to you in this lifetime. This never changes. Your natal chart stays with you. And even the vibrational charts, you can see them over here, over to the right-hand side. I just went ahead and generated a bunch of them. Those stay static throughout our life. So what this tells us is what circuits we have. What are we predisposed to do and like and operate in this world? What makes it current and enables us as astrologers to look down the road and see what's coming down weeks, months, or even years ahead is when we look at your natal chart, which, remember, never changes, and we compare that against what's going on in the sky right now. Because remember, this is what's happening in the sky. We're back to the transit chart, as you can see over here, and this is based on my location. If I was going to run transits for you, we'd have to do it on your current location because you're in a different part of the world than I'm in. But what's going through the sky is eventually going to hit an aspect, different parts of your natal chart. And let me give you, this demonstration might be helpful. I'm still on the transit chart. I'm going to move this forward one day at a time and just watch what happens. You don't have to even worry about what these figures mean or the glyphs or anything, but I'm going to move forward one day at a time and watch what happens. Certain planets are moving quickly, like the moon and the sun. Okay, here's the moon, here's the sun, and they're moving pretty quickly because they move at a pretty quick pace through the solar system. However, you've got planets like Mars and Mercury that are moving. You can watch the numbers change, but they're moving a bit more slowly. Yeah. And that's based on the speed that those planets actually transit. So when we're talking, and you'll see that the lines as they show up in the middle of the chart, those are the aspects or the angles that are formed. And that's what we interpret, whether it's in the natal, vibrational, or in the transit chart, to see where they are and what they're aspecting within your own natal chart. And that's where circuits connect and disconnect over time. And that is the basis for timing forecasts.
Right.
So hopefully that a lot of times I'll do this with clients just to show them. And you can see over here right now, we're up to September 9th because I just, you know, click in here one day at a time. We can drill this. We can go years at a time all the way down to seconds. So we can get as precise as we need to. But that's hopefully demystifies how the transits, transits are always what's going on in the sky, how those impact the natal chart, which is what I've gone back over to now for you, which is over here. Yep. So this is your natal chart. I'm not even going to spend too much time on that. I'm going to focus on two of the vibrational charts. And here's why, because I'm going to show you how specific we can get as vibrational astrologers. So we're going to take a look right here in your seventh vibration. Now, the seventh vibration deals with a deep, internal, quiet focus. In other words, whenever we see a lot of activity, and the more lines you see in the center of a chart, the more active that specific vibrational chart is going to be. This is fairly active. Yep. So all of these aspects are going to relate to what you do, how you operate when you focus inward, tune out the distractions, and you spend quality time focusing alone, as opposed to, let's say, being connected out to the world and doing a whole bunch of interactive type of things. So the first thing that I look at here is it's funny how it was taught to us, you follow the pretty patterns. So what I'm doing is I'm looking to see what planets are connected, and we stay within the same color for reasons I'm not going to get into right now. But we're going to follow this green line, which goes from Pluto over here to the Sun. Excuse me, that's Neptune, the Sun, and here's Pluto. And you see they're all connected by this green line here. Forget the red line that's there. So all I'm going to do now is in the seventh vibration, which is a deep internal focus for you, I'm going to interpret the meanings of these three planets, the Sun, Neptune, and Pluto. Well, Neptune is what is magical for us. And that could be different things to different people. For some people, it's going to see Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's performing here in the U.S. She's got quite the successful tour, packing in stadiums. For some people, that's what's magical for them. For other people, it's winning the lottery. Other people, it's being able to go to a vacation in the Swiss Alps. It doesn't have to be anything that grand. It could be simply the desire to sit by a stream with a book could be magical. Whatever's magical to you as an individual, that's what Neptune's talking about. Yep. Pluto is about this deep, intense desire to really get in there and dig deep, unearth all the hidden secrets, bring things out into the open with a almost compulsive-like tendency. And the Sun, that's who you are. We can't live without the Sun. Without the Sun, the whole thing comes crashing down. So it gets expressed through you. All right, at this moment, we're still talking astrobabble and gobbledygook, but now I'm going to make it practical to you. When I see these three planets, it tells me that in your focus time, whatever that looks like for you, you're looking and researching and being involved and immersed in things that are magical to you, whether it's literature or studying astrology or intuition. And you don't just do a cursory look. Pluto says, I want to know everything. So it may not be uncommon for you to spend hours in a book or with some self-study materials. And you're like just so immersed, making it current. That's what the Sun does, where you just totally immerse yourself in that experience, not just wanting to know a little bit, you want it all. And you do that in the seventh vibe, which means you don't need to be around a whole lot of people. In fact, that could get in the way. You need that quiet, still focus to really dig in deep to whatever it is that is magical to you, and you're going to do it in a very intense type of way. So I will ask you, as I ask all my clients, does that resonate with you, or is that like just so far off the mark, it's not even funny?
It is absolutely spot on. I don't like crowds. If I need to recharge my energy, I have to have it on my own. I have to be on my own. Yep. I like that space. when you're talking about things that are magical to you, my first thoughts were walking in through the rainforest. I just love doing that. Love that space on my own, that space and time. So, but yes.
I just got to tell you. So this is one of those moments when we make that. I literally got the hair on the back of my neck standing up. So I'm going to take a guess and say some of your best work ideas and focus comes from your walks in the rainforest.
Yep, absolutely. Because I've got beautiful big rocks there, and I sit on my rocks and I do my meditation. Yeah. And it is my time to connect with me, and I don't do it often enough.
Yeah. Here's the thing to keep in mind. People say, well, what happens if you don't do what is in your chart? Well, it depends on the severity of how strong the aspects are. And these are pretty strong. One way to quickly read this is the darker the lines, the stronger the aspects. And these are pretty dark green lines here, here, and there compared to, let's say, see this red line? It's here, but it's not nearly as intense. When we don't do things that we are wired to do, and we want to do them, that's the key thing, then we have an energy blockage, and that's when the problems start. Could be health problems, could be focus problems, relationship, whatever the problem might be. If we can't express our natural inherent energy that we want to, because there's nothing here saying that you have to do that, that you must do this if you weren't interested in it, but you obviously are. But if we cut that private time for you in the rainforest out of your life, well, you even said you don't do enough of it. I'm going to ask you, how do you feel when the stress level's getting high and you really want to go do that, but schedules prevent you from doing that? What is the feeling like for you?
I feel like I'm getting, my head's getting jammed up with stuff, and I need to release it. And it is stressy. It does get stressy. It's my calm space, my om space. If I can't get out into the rainforest, I walk every morning. So that's my substitute. If I can't get up into the mountains, this is where I'll go. And this is that's what I'll do each day. So at least I'm getting that active meditation.
You're connecting with that energy one way or another. Even if you can't get to the most magical place, you take the walk, and that at least lets that energy flow for you.
Absolutely. Yep.
Now you'll notice too that in this interpretation, I'm looking for major planetary configurations. In traditional astrology, we have oppositions. Like for example, here you've got Venus opposition Mars. And we can interpret that, meaning that whatever you're attracted to, you're putting a whole lot of energy into. And again, that could be people, places, things, whatever's beautiful for you, you put energy into that and probably aren't all that happy if you can't make something beautiful as much as you'd like to. And that's information. But in VA, we generally look at a minimum of three planets in aspect. And this fills the bill here with Pluto, Sun, and and Neptune, because when we have these multiple planets that are playing, it really removes a lot of that. Well, it could be this, it could be that. It's a very distinct situation and set of circumstances when we have multiple planets involved. So that's another differentiator in vibrational astrology. I want to look at your eighth vibration. There's more here, but just for the sake of keeping busy.
We're getting low on time, Michael.
I know. Yeah. Okay, one more piece here. Exactly. Because you, by the way, I think it's important for your listeners to know, we didn't set this up. I didn't ask you, what is this? I think I showed you one thing last week, and it wasn't even in the seventh vibe. It was, I think, the 11th vibe. We were speaking of restlessness. So what do we see right here? Lots of red lines. Here's where my eye's going. Four planets at play. Now, before we get into the planets, eighth harmonic is what motivates you at a core level. It's like the gas in the tank. So now we've got the Sun, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, all interacting together. So what's happening here? Jupiter makes things big. Saturn makes things, takes things away. So it's like, well, wait a minute, what's happening here? Well, you got one planet blowing things up, and Saturn's removing non-essential elements. So whatever you work on or build, you want to build something great, ideas, business, whatever it might be for you, but you want to do so in a way that is fluff-free. That's what Saturn's function is in this situation, because Saturn's taking away all the nonsense that we don't need. it has to be something you love or you're not going to do it. That's the Venus piece, because we're attracted to whatever Venus is aspecting in our chart, and the sun makes it front and center. So when we combine sun, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, from a technical standpoint, you could be an excellent administrator. I don't know if that's something you've done before. You're able to look at the big picture, that's Saturn, but also strip things out to get down to the core nuts and bolts if you need to. You've got to love what it is that you're doing, and then it enables you to make it current, front, and center. So here's...
Yeah, I have to tell you, Michael.
Please.
Because we're running out of time, but I have to tell you this, as soon as you start talking about that, that relates to my business, to Intuitive Nature, because you have that passion in it. I want to make it current. I want to make it accessible for everyone else so they learn to trust their intuition. But the other aspect is I want to get rid of the fluff. I want to get rid of the woo-woo. I want it to make sense to people.
That's Saturn.
Why I did the podcast. Yes, that is absolutely spot on.
So, and we didn't even talk about your moon, Venus, and sun, but we can do that another time. I'm going to stop the screen share just because we're running low on time. But that's a little taste of how this all kind of comes together. And you notice we're not fishing around, well, we got to look at your ruler planet of the seventh house cusp and all that stuff. Again, that stuff works sometimes, but with VA, it works a lot more than not, because we follow a very stringent set of guidelines and interpretations. And you could go to another vibrational astrologer and you'll get the same interpretation. That doesn't happen when you go to just general astrology. I see astrologers all the time. I like to support other people in the craft. And if I'm in a town or a place where someone's an astrologer, I'll plunk down a couple of bucks and listen to what they got to say. And everyone kind of comes at things from a different angle. But in VA, there's consistency. And again, that feeds the data side of my soul.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I really like how you, when you said it, you've said it in a generic enough form that is really clear. I know this sounds strange, but it's generic, but it's really targeted. So when you're saying things like that, straight away, I'm referring them back to me, not to everyone else or anything else. And well, that's the part that I love, the grounding part.
I appreciate that. I like to think of that as context versus content. I'm giving you the context that this is going to fit in. How that actually applies to you, obviously you've got to make those connections, but you can see that you make those connections real easily because we've cut out all the willy-nilly stuff that, it might be this, it might be that. Here's the energy, and then you're able to instantly connect how that energy shows up in your world and how you prefer it to show up.
Absolutely. So Michael at www.blueridgeastrology.com. That's how you can connect with Michael. I do have to say goodbye. Is there any last words before we do say goodbye?
No, it's been a pleasure. I am on all the socials. I do post daily updates on TikTok from a vibrational astrology perspective. Same moniker, Blue Ridge Astrology there. And I thank you for chatting with you. Thanks for chatting with me today. It's been a blast. And we need to probably do this again because we haven't even scratched the surface.
I know. I couldn't believe when I looked up and saw the time. So stay there. I'll do all the goodbyes and then I'll chat with you in a minute.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys, have a look at that website. That's fantastic. And I love how he expresses it. And he lets you come up. He lets you come up with the connections. He's not telling you. He's giving you an understanding of it. And you get the connections. That's where you're bringing your intuition through. That's where you're really connecting with you and who you are and what is best for you and where you go forward. That's what I really like about VA. That's what you need to look at. So jump on his website. And before I say goodbye, jump on and say good day to us. Share, like, subscribe the podcast. And we will see you all next week. If you want to learn how to trust your intuition, jump onto intuitivenature.com.au, an Australian business. And we will chat with you from there. So I will say bye for now, guys, and have a great week. Bye-bye.